Hi, my name is Retainer Nyawada, and welcome to another phenomenal, exciting Step Up to the Hustle episode of In My 20s. In My 20s. So today's episode, this is where the conversation lies. Do you remember at the end of last year, we had that whole 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year countdown, New Year, New Me, and you said to yourself, self, this year I'm going to start that side hustle. And now it's November, and that side hustle is still on business title, TBC. Objective, to make money. So today we want to take that procrastination and turn it into a step forward into you realizing your side hustle dreams. So we have the perfect person to motivate you, and without further delay, here he is.
I'm Jamie Thurston Weingott. I am a Cape Town boy, and I'm working on a new startup called Better. My philosophy really is regarding outside work and inside work. If you enjoy what you're doing, It doesn't feel like work.
Now on every episode of the In My 20s podcast, we have these incredible mind moments or gem moments, and this is just one of them.
A lot of people try to get married, well, they literally by default get married to their idea, get married to their business, and make their business their baby, and they try to incubate and protect it so much that they're the only one working there, because they feel like it's their job to be the accountant, it's their job to be the marketing manager, it's their job to be sales and development and management and all this type of things, when in fact, and I tell this to myself as well, there's always someone that can do this better than you.
The In My 20s podcast is split up into three sections. In the first section, we get to hear a little bit more about Jamie's career journey. In the second section, we dive into today's title, which is all about how everybody needs a side hustle. And rounding up all three sections is what this podcast really is about. Conversations with people in their 20s and in their 30s about what it's really like to be in the 20s, and also a conversation around the all-consuming quarter-life crisis. So let's get straight into it. So Jamie, tell me all about your career journey. Where did you begin? Where did you study even? Because I know, like, I remember you from radio, but now you're a startup, and then you mentioned that you're a scientist. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yes.
So give me a little bit about your career journey from where your studies to right here.
So it might sound multifaceted, which it probably is, but from the... In the beginning. So I've actually always been entrepreneurial.
Yes.
I've always loved entrepreneurship.
Yes.
I didn't know the concept of making money that I kind of liked.
Okay.
But the truth is I hated business subjects. I hated EMS. I hated accounting.
Oh, wow.
Because I found it so boring. Okay. And that's why I went and studied science.
Okay.
Because I like doing something new. I like the interesting things.
Mm.
And I think the merger there with my entrepreneurial side and my science side is with my sense of discovery.
Wow.
My sense of trying to find new things, trying to solve new problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the link, I would say, because people often disjoint, but you're a scientist, but you're a business person. Where does this come from?
But you're a radio DJ.
Yes. And that whole thing, the thing of entertainment, and I talk a lot. So that's why I went into radio as well. But let me go from my high school journey.
Okay.
So in high school, I chose study subjects, science subjects, physics, life science, information technology.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a super nerd at school. And
okay.
Yeah, big up the nerds, yes. and from there, I studied business things as well, like entrepreneurship on the side, and I started my own businesses.
Okay.
I was selling merchandise out of my locker in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What kind of merchandise were you selling?
Tissues, because my locker was so close to the girls' bathroom.
Oh,
the girls
wow.
They often run out and be like, oh, we need toilet paper. And I'm like, here we go, R1.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I was
capitalizing. So your side hustle days started from like early.
Yes.
Early.
Then with that, I also went into dealing Lindt, the chocolate. I found a wholesaler for Lindt.
Okay.
I then resold the Lindt at a discount rate to what the shops were selling it.
Okay.
So I made a profit. I think people started selling, buying in bulk, and that business went through into university, and the universities were buying gifts for their speakers and things from me in Lindt packs and Lindt chocolates.
Wow.
I went to and studied biotechnology at the University of the Western Cape.
Of course you did.
Yeah, that's my science. Like, I was so into science.
Biotechnology, that's like deep in science.
Yeah, that's super deep. I love it. I love biotech.
Okay.
I still have loads of biotech ideas. I had a whole bunch of ideas when I was at university. And while I was studying, I was class rep since first year for biotech. I was so into science.
Okay.
I was then also accepted into honors before I finished my undergrad and started doing an honors project while I was in my final year.
Wow.
this all happened while I was also studying entrepreneurship.
Okay.
I studied animation. I did some course, extra course in photography.
Okay.
Also, and a big tip I'll give to people at university, you are completely allowed under the radar to go to other classes.
I attended
psychology, I attended law.
Oh, stunning.
Because people that pay for the classes don't even show up.
Yeah. So you're like a seat filler. And then when the register comes around, you're like, yes, I could be so-and-so.
Yes, I just in the lectures, they didn't have any registers at UWC. So I just attended the classes. And just for fun, I made it even more famous. People didn't even know what I studied at campus because I was so involved.
Wow.
But it was really a cool journey. I love university.
I
don't even think I was as involved at high school.
Okay.
But I think I flourished. University was my
was
prime.
The thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with that, I also started my own business. I've had my business. So I started a new business that recruited people for modeling jobs, acting jobs, and extras for movies.
Okay.
And that even evolved into creating people promotion jobs.
Okay.
So I started creating a huge database. And then that company I called the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I see there isn't a lot of these agencies. So I think that's quite a big deal, something we'd be doing. And then we've also specialized in new media marketing.
Yeah.
And new media marketing is a mashup of mainstream and social media.
Okay.
This skill came in when I did a lot of tests around how media works.
Okay.
And that's where my science background comes in as well.
Okay.
I think with science, and I'll tell a lot of people around this, is that when you study something, you don't study technique to become that.
Mm.
I didn't study biotech to become a biotechnologist. The same way you don't study law to become a lawyer or an accountant to become an accountant. You don't study accounting to become an accountant because you can end up in any role. But the thing you'll always leave with is when you study law, you learn to think like a lawyer. When you study accounting, you learn to think like
an
accountant.
That's pretty powerful.
When you study science, you learn to think like a scientist.
Yes.
So you start developing the methods, the way they do it, the hows and the whys.
So you can pretty much go into any industry, but from a specific perspective. Okay, that's pretty powerful.
So with my science background, I now do business the way a scientist will do business, the way you test, the way you factualize things, the way you can repeat things, the way you can draft up methods and methodologies and reports. That's how I go into business.
Okay. Is this whole concept of the side hustle? So, I mean, for you, you started your side hustle in high school. You've been side hustling since 1990.
Yeah. Since I was born.
And so, like, in today's society, I found that among my friends, among peers, among people at a, you know, restaurant or party, people that you meet, there are a lot of people who just don't have a 9-to-5 or an 8-to-5.
Because you can just side hustle your life.
Side hustle your whole life. But it's not enough just to have a job anymore. Because they're, in terms of job satisfaction, fulfillment, it's not necessarily all about the money. Mm-hmm. The money helps. But there is this nature that one job is not enough. You need to have, like, first of all, multiple streams of income, but also the side hustle.
Firstly, if you're living the side hustle life, right? Current banks don't understand what that is, so they can't give you a loan, they can't give you a thing for your car, they can't give you, you can't buy a house, you can't even take out a cell phone contract because your income is inconsistent.
Okay, but are you talking about side hustle as like...
If you just...
Your whole life is a side hustle. You don't have a proper job.
Yeah.
Just a side hustle.
Your whole life is side hustle.
Okay.
And that makes it difficult for you to actually do things in the real world.
Okay.
So I would say the best way to do a side hustle and manage your entire life is go with this, what I call the 70-20-10 model.
Oh,
hit me. So 70% of your time you do for your main source of income.
Okay.
That could be your main job, that could be a main hustle, but you make it consistent and you make sure you deposit the money in your account.
Mm-hmm.
20% of your time you do to maintain your side hustle.
Okay.
Right? And because usually a side hustle doesn't always pay as much as your main hustle.
Mm.
So you do 20% of your physical time on your side hustle. Mm. Just put your day over according to time.
Mm-hmm.
And until that main hustle, that side hustle, makes as much as your main hustle, I will say, take that 20% and make that side hustle your main hustle.
Hey.
Because the reason you do a side hustle isn't always, like you said, about the money.
Yeah.
But because you enjoy it.
Yes,
right? Then 10% of your time, if I look at the 70-20-10, 10% you do for a long-term goal.
Okay.
So that could be maybe studying some things on the side, doing some Google, YouTube tutorials, doing an extra long-term goal. So that could be either maybe taking some time of understanding how investments work.
Yes,
and doing an investment. Taking some time of understanding how the housing market works.
Mm.
And say, okay, I'm going to save up towards this house, I'm going to buy to invest.
Yeah.
It could be learning how to code. It could be learning any new things.
Okay.
Because people often get lost in their side hustle and could lose their main hustle because of
side
that.
Hustle. So, to articulate the side hustle, essentially it's like your freelance mission.
Yes.
And your main hustle is your 8-to-5, and that 10% is your studies, then you're saying we should be doing this consecutively all the time.
Yeah.
So we should always be studying. Because this is the interesting thing I found, is that 10% that you spoke about, a lot of people stop studying or stop learning the minute they start working.
Because
they're like, I made it, I'm here, done.
Nope.
And a lot of companies, especially in the media and entertainment spaces, not necessarily corporate or lawyer or traditional jobs, don't offer additional like studies or support for studies. Or they want you to work for the company for 100 years before they pay for like a 2-month mission.
That is in the best interest of the company, because if you're never going to grow, they never have to pay you more.
Yes.
And
I see.
But the more you upskill yourself, the more skills you learn, the more you can get paid.
Yes.
And people, like, even just getting an MBA, you automatically get paid more.
You make it sound so chill. Like, just get
an MBA.
Anyone can get an MBA. Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But upskilling yourself makes yourself in a higher earning position.
Yeah.
Even if you're just learning things in work.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of experience you gain in work, that counts as real money.
Mm.
That working experience you gain, when you go to another place, you can say, hey, I've got these skills. But don't forget, you're in a competitive space. And not to add fear, you're also competing against machines.
Ooh.
Your job could become redundant if you're not upskilling yourself.
Yes, yeah.
Even like skills like from being a doctor.
Mm.
A machine can now replace a doctor. Yes, could Google this.
Yeah.
A machine can replace a lawyer drafting contracts.
Yeah.
Machines are replacing accountants.
Yeah.
These are careers that back in the day our parents said, you must become a doctor or an accountant.
Or a lawyer. Or a teacher, yeah.
And those are careers that people thought, these careers are never going to leave.
Yes.
But if you look at it, brand new careers are popping up.
Yeah.
A social media manager.
Social media manager! That's my favorite. I love Shout out to all the social media managers out there.
10 years ago, it wasn't a thing.
Dude.
And now, legitimate, every company needs this.
Or an influencer.
Yes.
Okay, but that's when your side hustle became your main hustle. If you're like a professional influencer.
You can literally become a professional influencer.
I know like professional YouTubers.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's the income.
And that's legit.
And that's a job.
Yeah.
It's like, can you imagine going to your parent right now and being like, hey, mom, dad, they're like, what do you want to do? I want to be a professional YouTuber.
Yeah, they're not going to get you. Hey? They're going to be like, you are bewitched. No. We need to pay for you, my child. You need to get a real job.
No, legit. But tell me more about like this side hustle mentality, because again, coming to the fact that so many people nowadays feel like they need that side hustle, and in your breakdown of 70-30-10, which by the way, I love and I think I'm going to utilize in my life.
Yeah.
Why is there such a need for the side hustle? Like, why can't I just do the 70 and the 10 and that... Wow, listen to my maths. And that's 30%.
It's cool.
Okay, well, the 70, 10, and 20.
Yeah.
Why can't I do 70, 10, and the 20 I take and I just watch series? Like, why can't I just watch series?
Well, that's fine, but then where are you developing yourself?
I don't know.
In the 10%, you can do a long-term thing, yes.
Mm.
And I'm not saying we don't need to watch series. Series are cool. Like, take your time, take your break. So in that whole time split, you can always take a break in there as well.
Okay.
But it's more of, where do you see yourself?
Mm.
Do you see yourself just earning this amount and only getting an increase on your whatever the 10% increase per whatever the increase is per year?
We don't get increases in media, so sorry, we don't.
Or do you feel that, is this enough for you? Look, because if you're content with where your life is, good shot, I'm happy for you. And maybe this is a problem I have, where I'm not always fulfilled.
Mm.
I might be having the best time of my life, but I always feel, I need more.
Yeah.
And to me, I just feel like I'm always going to look for more.
Okay.
I'm always going to look for what more can I do. Not for the sake of wanting to brag of, I want a bigger house, I want a bigger car. But I want that sense of comfort.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel that when I'm in a more comfortable environment, I can think better and I can do more.
Yes.
So it actually just fits all together for myself.
Yes.
Some people actually like the comfort. They're in the comfort zone right now. They're quite fine in the comfort zone.
Mm. But coming back to that side hustle mission. So you said that at the point where your side hustle. So now we're talking about side hustles, income generating side hustles.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us have side hustles or things that we do for fulfillment that are not necessarily income generating.
Yeah.
So now I've got my side hustle, I've been working at it, now I'm bringing in the income, and now, like you said, it's now making a little bit more. Like, does it always have to make a little bit more before you jump? Because I think at some point you need to jump.
When I say the making part,
it
doesn't necessarily mean monetary value.
Okay.
Because you could even be making it in fulfillment.
Mm.
So if you can survive, as in
I can't pay my bills or fulfillment.
You need to weigh everything into consideration.
Okay.
Is this going to pay my bills?
Mm.
Is this sustainable?
Mm.
And then how much fulfillment do I get out of this? How much job satisfaction do I get out of this?
Mm.
Because you could be hating your main hustle.
Mm.
But if you can work a side hustle, maybe your main hustle might be you work in a call center.
Mm.
Right? But your side hustle is you like designing clothing.
Mm.
Ooh, awesome. And now you can check that so much people are buying your clothes
mm-hmm.
that you're making more or equal money making the clothes than what you do in your call center job.
Okay.
Does that mean now that you can switch?
Mm.
Well, I would say that's a very nice thing to switch, because if you can spend as much time making clothes
yeah.
as you would be spending in the call center,
yeah.
how much more money could you make now? How much more fulfillment can you get now
okay.
after that?
Okay.
So that's
okay.
what I'm saying, doing the switch, not just because of the money side,
yeah.
but as long as you can survive,
mm.
and you're not just surviving economically, but surviving holistically.
Yeah.
Are you fed internally, and
yeah.
are you fed mentally, or are you
yeah.
fed spiritually?
Yes. I know so many people who want to work for themselves because, one, that they're frustrated in their current jobs. Either their managers frustrate them, they know that they can do the job better, they just don't have the right funding to do what they're doing, but they can do it, and they'll be fantastic at it because they'll throw themselves at it. So say, for example, you get funding from someone to do your side hustle. Now you're a startup, right?
Mm-hmm.
I read a statistic, I don't remember what the numbers are, but I think it was like 70 to 80% of startups fail within the first
yes.
2 years. And that's why startups don't get to that threshold. Why is that? Because that's the thing, it's like,
okay.
I have the funding.
There's a couple of reasons here.
Hmm.
Funding isn't one thing. You
hmm.
can have your money.
Hmm.
But it's again the case of being user-centric. If you can
okay.
you can have the money to build something, but if nobody wants it, it's not going to go anywhere.
Mm.
The second case is, sometimes when someone gets all the funding, they're going to splurge.
Mm.
If you're somebody that earns 10K a month and all of a sudden you get the mill,
mm.
girl, you think you're going to sit here?
Because
you're not able to manage the finances correctly. That's why a lot
okay.
of startups fail, because of mismanagement of funds.
Mm.
Another case is, people don't understand what being an entrepreneur is.
Mm.
You think, oh, I'm my own boss now, I can
mm.
work when I want to. That is not the case.
Okay.
The truth is, you're working even harder than what you worked at the call center.
Oh, hectic.
Your hours are going to be longer, because this is your main thing. This
mm.
is your baby.
Mm.
If you don't work, you're not going to get paid.
Mm.
In a corporate, you can sit there on the call center acting like you're on the call,
mm.
and you'll still get paid.
Mm-hmm. Meantime, you're just chatting to your friends.
Yeah, meantime, you're chatting. Meantime, you're chilling.
Mm.
But if you're working, if you're the CEO, if you're the managing director,
yeah.
and if you don't work,
yeah.
you're not going to get paid. If
yeah.
you don't develop the business, you're not going to get your cash.
Yeah.
And that's also a case that people think, oh, I can do this better than my boss,
mm.
but when the time comes for you to do the work, you're like, oh, wait, I'm going to have a nice long coffee
mm.
break, I'm going to go to a couple of meetings, I'm going to go watch a movie,
wow.
I'll work tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight comes, oh, there you're sleeping.
Oh, wow.
You know, or your favorite series comes on.
Yeah.
So you need to also be responsible with your time
mm.
and your effort, because being your own boss doesn't mean that you get to work whenever you want to work.
Mm.
Yes, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means you're now working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting paid for that overtime work.
Because
who's going to pay you?
Yeah.
You're your own boss.
Yeah.
So that's the case. And
okay.
people need to also understand that there's a lot of glamour around being an entrepreneur.
Mm.
But people are not being shown the negative, I wouldn't say it's a negative, so I'll call it the learnings
mm.
of being an entrepreneur.
Because
people shy away of that when the business suffers.
Mm.
And that's the thing. Business does suffer.
Mm.
Business can
Businesses
go,
don't make
yeah.
money or profit. They're not profitable in that first year anyway.
Yeah.
You're still like just like trying to,
yes.
trying to
especially
cover your overheads
if
you can.
If this is your first business,
mm.
I'll really say, do it, try it. You could succeed.
Mm.
You could not. But don't also give up. Just
mm.
because your first business failed, look at it. What
yeah.
did you learn from this?
Yeah, yeah.
Pick up the pieces
yeah.
and start again.
Yeah. But I think it's also like, what is your turnaround time? So, I mean, turnaround in terms of emotionally getting
yeah.
back after you've been disappointed, right?
And that's up to you on your learning. So you look at
yeah.
it of how much have I learned?
Yeah.
And what did I do wrong, and
yes.
where can I fix it?
Yes, but some people spend too much time on the emotional side, as in, I failed, oh my gosh, and you want to sit and you want to plan and you want to plan. Like, even so, the other day when we were like discussing like business plans and
mm-hmm.
stuff, you showed me something so simple. Like, it was on a Word document. You were like, oh, well, this is it, this is the plan. We sent out the questions today, and boom, we're recording, and you know, etc. For me, I'm like that person who's like, I want it designed, I want it to look pretty. Have I every single like thing, like how well have I planned it, and then I'll execute. But
there's
it's like, if you know what I mean,
yeah.
like, what is the turnaround time?
There's a saying, and I'm gonna get it wrong, but it's got to do with, perfect is the enemy of done.
Sure.
If you're trying to make
that's
it perfect,
a mind moment. That's
you
it.
Will never
mm.
launch. You'll
mm.
never finish
mm.
it.
So you're saying launch imperfectly.
Yeah, launch imperfectly, because you can always improve.
100%.
But if you're trying to be perfect, you're never going to launch.
Mm. And I guess if you fail, even with it like 40% there,
yeah.
at least you'll
those
turn around
learnings.
Quicker. And then you'll be like, maybe not this way, let me try another way.
Yes.
But if you're finished and you're like, this is perfect, and you fail, you'll be like, but I spent like 10,000 hours. I spent my 10,000 hours doing this. I'm the expert, and I still failed.
Yeah.
So I think that is quite intense. Yeah.
I would say fail fast and fail early. It's that fear of failure that you wanted to be so perfect that you're never going to get there.
Yes, yeah.
And something new is always going to come on board. Even if you look at tech, even with us as a bank investor, there's always going to be new tech. We can develop something today.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, a new article comes out or a new company gets launched where they just made a brand new way of doing it.
Yes,
and we're like, oh, we need to do that.
Mm.
But we also need to learn how these things happen.
Mm. So and it's that 10% that you're speaking about, that 10% of the learning. What are you learning?
Yes.
And if all you're doing is working, side hustle or main hustle, but you're not learning, then you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the boat somewhere. I'm thinking about how this applies to different areas of your life. It's like sometimes we don't enter the 21K race because we're like, oh my word, I can't run 21K straight. But maybe just running 10K is enough to take you to the 21K.
Do that piece by piece.
Mm.
It might sound like a huge task.
Yeah.
What did Nelson Mandela say? It seems impossible until it's done.
100%.
If you can take each, the big goal and break it up. Say if it's a business, say, okay, I need to meet these milestones.
Mm.
I need... for my clothing business, I need to get my designs, I need to get my paper together, I need to find customers. Break each thing up and do it one at a time.
Yes, yeah.
Once you start doing step by step, it becomes so much less work and you actually get to achieve your goal.
Yeah, but we're so used to looking at the big goal and the money and the fame and the success and the rewards that is attached to that goal that we're like, oh my word, I'm not there, I'm never going to do it. Forgetting, as you're saying, break it down step by step, then you'll
get there. You make it unobtainable for yourself because you're trying to focus on something that seems so big that you're not able to handle it.
Yeah.
Yet piece by piece. How do you climb a mountain? You start from the bottom and you climb your way up.
Or you don't just... you take the table mountain cable car.
Some people might have cable cars in life.
I mean, some people do have cable cars. Yeah. It's called money and a family inheritance.
But even in that sense, you don't just take the entire mountain or make it little task piece by piece.
Yes, yeah, I completely agree. Very fascinating. You also spoke about some of the realities and the dark side of being an entrepreneur or a startup or having that company. Because essentially... you want to start up, and then become like a middle-tier company, and then a big company, and then you want to take over the world, right? But tell me some of the difficulties and some of the dark moments that you've had in terms of the startups that you've been involved with and essentially living an entrepreneurial lifestyle.
What I'll definitely say about my dark moments is that I've literally turned all my dark moments into learnings.
Okay.
So if I look back now, I'm almost like, oh, I didn't have any dark moments.
Mm.
But the truth is, those moments happen and I turned it around.
Okay.
So it's a case of, and I would say this, always ask questions to your customers.
Okay.
Always, like, be willing to learn. So if someone says something, take that criticism.
Mm.
People often try to be like, ah, you can't criticize my business. What do you know?
Yeah.
If someone even spends the time to try to tell you something, listen. Because if they didn't care about you, they wouldn't have even told you anything.
Mm,
so that's the thing. Because people get so defensive that they forget. They shut their ears and be like, I'm not going to listen to nobody. La, la, la. This is my business. I'll do it my way.
Mm.
And I would say, you know what? You're probably not going to get very far.
Yeah. On the other hand, people also just want to talk. They're just like, oh, this is what I know. This is what I know. This is what I've done. This is what works. Meanwhile, you could be sitting across from like a person who is the Einstein
that's
in that industry.
Listen.
And they just have like three words to tell you. And you're like, no, but I did this and I did that and I did this. You need to be like a sponge. Like a
spend some time and listen. Mm. That I think is the best lesson that I've learned of my life. Because I talk too much.
Yeah.
Listen to your customers. Listen to your critics.
Mm.
Listen to your haters. Cause what are they going on about? You know, if those people, if people can say bad things about you, I don't want to be like, I don't know the best way to say this. Firstly, I don't think I have haters.
Mm-hmm.
But when people have bad things to say, I don't take it and disregard it. I take it like, oh, cool. So what can I do about it? Please tell me more.
That's
if someone says, oh, Jamie, I don't like the way you're doing this, I'm like, oh, awesome. Tell me more. What don't you like about it?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas some people are like, ah, that's someone that's just a hater. I'm not going to listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
They don't. Listen to your inverted commas haters.
Mm.
And probe. Ask questions. Because it might just be that they don't like you as a person.
Mm.
But then even in that case, what is it they don't like about you?
Mm. Not that you're necessarily going to change. Yeah. You're just trying to break down their argument.
Because
right?
if there's something they don't like about you, could that jeopardize your business?
Because
in the case of you being an entrepreneur, your business is personal. That business is your life.
Mm.
So if someone doesn't like you, and then there's another competing business where they actually like the person.
Mm.
Think of it as like a political race.
Mm.
People are going to vote for who they like for. Who they like. If there's two shows, for perhaps you're a musician, and there's two concerts happening, and yours is on the same night, but people don't like you, they're going to go to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like legit.
Yeah, yeah.
So just be open to learning. And from these dark moments, I can't even say what dark moments I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But pick those moments up and learn from it.
Okay. Yeah. So Jamie, you are turning 28.
Yes.
On the 7th of December.
Why? Wow, how do you know these things? You're stalking me.
Stalking 101. I call it investigative journalism.
Okay, okay. No, that's cool. 7th of December is my birthday, going to be 28.
Yes, yeah.
And what I can tell you about adulting. And I feel that this should be taught to you in school. Because in life orientation, they teach you about HIV and AIDS and sex and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. I still do not know how to do my taxes. I still do not know how to do taxes.
Uh-huh.
So that's a big deal of adulting. Also, other things like buying a car.
Yeah.
I bought a car last year.
Yeah.
And people didn't tell me little things about how you can get low interest rates.
Yeah.
How you can get... How a second-hand car is just as good as a first-hand car. Because I thought, I'll buy a first-hand car.
Yeah.
There might be no problems on a first-hand car.
Yeah.
Because I'm guaranteed that.
Yeah.
And then I realized that people are paying the exact same amount that I'm paying for a much better second-hand car.
Okay.
And I'm like, gosh, I made mistakes, eh?
Mm.
Even things of buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
Renting a house. There's things that people didn't tell you because you lived with your parents all this time.
Yes.
So I've learned quite a bit of lessons. And the thing is... Go YouTube, go Google, go ask these questions before you start.
Yeah.
I tried researching, but there isn't actually information of, hey, what do I do with buying my first car? There isn't any information.
There isn't.
How do I pay my taxes? I've been Googling. You know, I've given up because I feel like it's such an effort.
I completely agree. I think taxes is the most difficult thing in the world. I can find a checkbook. Do you know why? Because we learned that in high school. But guess what? We don't use checks anymore.
Yeah.
But doing taxes. I don't know how. I'm always like, anytime tax season comes, I call my older sister and I'm like, hi.
Yeah, that's the thing. Get someone else to do it for you.
That's
the millennial thing to do. Get someone else to do it
for
you.
Get someone else to do your taxes.
I don't know how to do it.
It's so difficult.
Yeah.
Deep question. It's like that intuition question. It's the 70-20-10 question of everyone's life. Have you been in a quarter life crisis?
Okay. Honestly, I wouldn't say I've been in a quarter life crisis. I've had the realization, oh my gosh, 25, 26, 27, 28, I'm getting so old. Have I achieved what I want in life?
Getting so old.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like I haven't achieved what I want.
You told me I was young just now. And we're like,
yeah, you look young. You look young. I didn't know you were the same age as me. I thought you were younger than me. I thought you were younger than me. But I had those feelings of, oh, what have I achieved? You look at people that are making it in life, and you think, like, they're the same age as me. What have I done in my life? So I've had those moments, but I also know I need to put a plan into place. And that's where my thinking comes in. I haven't had a crisis because as soon as a problem arises, I try to mitigate that problem so fast. I try to be like, okay, Jamie, what can you do to solve this? So I take my whole life principle, the way I solve riddles.
Is that your scientific element of you? The
scientist
in you comes out.
Like, what can I do to solve this? There's no point in sulking over an issue if you're not going to do anything about it. And that's something I'll tell people. You can have the worst situation, but if you're going to look at your situation and be like, oh, I have nothing to do, I can't do anything, then that's it. I'm washing my hands for you if you think there's nothing you can do, because there's always something you can do. The first thing you can do is firstly try to understand what the problem is. In my case, if I looked at it and said, oh, what have I done in my life, what have I achieved, I'm 28, and I look at all these other people living their lives, what have I got? And then I look at it, so okay, what do I have? And firstly, if my situation is me thinking I'm not good enough, what have I got, and actually appreciating what I have firstly. Then saying, okay, so what do I want? So I want a better house. I want a few properties. I want a better mode of transport. I want my business to be a legacy. So then I say, what can I put in place to achieve those goals? Now I know that my goal, my problem I thought I had, is actually something tangible and obtainable. Then guess what? The problem falls away.
100%.
I don't have a problem anymore because now I know that I can work towards something.
And you've done the solution, and then you're going to do it bite size at a time.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you how I solve problems, right?
Yeah.
I have a problem. I cry. I break down. I break down. Then I'm like, cool, let me pen and paper this. I get the pen and paper. I pour a glass of wine. I drink the wine. I forget the pen and paper. Wake up. Still have the problem. Then I cry. Then I call my girlfriends. Then I explain what the problem is. Then I talk around it. Then I'm like, oh my word, life is ending. Da, da, da. And then eventually, when like push comes to shove and I actually need to solve the problem, in maybe 10 minutes, it's solved. But it took me...
Yeah.
6 days to get you know what I mean? It's a process.
And look, you can't blame that emotional feeling.
Yeah.
We all deal with things differently. And I guess my logical side overpowers my emotional side.
Yeah.
Solving
my emotions are, whew.
Yeah. But then it's a case of understanding that has that emotional process even helped you? Because yes, it might seem dramatic and, oh, look at all my problems. But some people need to go through that phase of emotions to get to a solution.
Agreed.
And I'm not going to say that your solution is worse or better than mine.
It involves wine. It's better.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm totally kidding.
In that situation, you bonded with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
You understood situations better. You got advice from different people. You made other people feel valued.
Mm.
So did your problem and way of solving the problem, was
like
it actually
a waste?
Like
how you think I made people feel valued. It wasn't actually.
Because asking someone else for advice makes them feel valued.
Yeah.
So you might have taken 10 minutes to find your problem.
Mm.
But in that process, you made other people feel better about themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah. So, Jamie, we have spoken at length about the whole startup mission. We've spoken about the percentages of the breakdown at 70, 20, 10. I promise you I'm not going to forget that for the life of
you. Yeah, get your mess right.
So tell me, what advice do you have for someone out there who has that side hustle and they really want to turn that side hustle into the main hustle? Okay. What advice do you have?
Big thing I have to say is make sure you have the right team.
Mm.
A lot of people try to get married. They literally by default get married to the idea, get married to their business, and make their business their baby, and they try to incubate and protect it so much that they're the only one working there because they feel like it's their job to be the accountant, it's their job to be the marketing manager, it's their job to be sales and development and management and all this type of things. When in fact, and I tell this to myself as well, there's always someone that can do this better than you. Go find that people. Whether this be a company, whether it's an individual, whether it's your brother that just graduated from I don't know what, marketing or something. Go find them and say, hey, I've seen what you can do. Do you mind working with me on this business?
Yeah.
And I know you'll say, oh, but that's expensive, Jamie.
Yeah, costs money.
How do you, how can you afford to bring people in?
Especially when you're by yourself, right?
Yep.
So if you've started your company, it's by yourself, it's in, you've passed the business plan mode, and now you're like, cool, I have the marketing, that I need a social media manager, but right now you're not even making a cent. How do you even hire someone if you can't even pay yourself, right?
So firstly, if you're going to go into business, you should have some extra sense because you're still doing your main hustle.
So you
use your main hustle to fund your side hustle. If it's a case of, oh, this is only my side hustle, you can even look at doing trade exchanges with people. So saying, okay, look, I have other skills, so I might be good at being an accountant. So you've got another business and you're a marketing business. I'll give you an hour of accountancy for an hour of marketing.
Okay.
That's the way to do it. Or you can say, okay, I've got this idea, and hey, Ogilvy, you're the best marketing company in the world. Do you guys mind maybe sending one of your interns my way? Or saying, hey, I can possibly even give you shares, or could your business invest in my business? And you do your business pitch to them.
Okay.
And that's where you could save a whole lot of money and get the best resources out there. So there are these little tips and tips I will advise to users to people. Just don't try to incubate your idea so much that you're never going to get anywhere, because you're only as good as yourself. You're only as good as your team. The more skillful team members you add into your team, the better your business is going to go.
You are only as good as yourself. You are only as good as your team. Wow, wow, and all the wows. I must completely agree with Jamie. I think that if you've got an idea out there, you've got that idea. Don't wait until it's perfect. Step out there, put it out there in the world, and you'll start building and growing it and making it better. Find someone you trust. Find a friend or a colleague or a mentor and just say, I have this idea. Go out to people. Go to your family and be like, what do you think about this? And help them, let them help you refine it. It's not the idea of people bashing down your idea meaning this is not going to work. It's the refining. And as you're refining it, you're going to build those resilience muscles. When you start putting it out there and you find this doesn't work or that doesn't work, how do I move it? How do I maneuver it? You're going to see it start blooming into the billion highest currency company or startup and hustle that you could not imagine if you had not taken that step forward. So thank you so much to Jamie for coming onto today's show and sharing your knowledge and shedding some light on that side hustle life. I guarantee you by the start of 2019, on everybody's New Year's resolutions, it's going to be like, get on that side hustle life. Yes, yes, and all the yeses. Please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and on YouTube. Follow us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But we look forward to seeing you same time, same place, right here on In My 20s. In my 20s, in my 20s. How old are you? I am in my 20s. If you didn't know my 20s, this is my side hustle 20s. I am in my 20s. I said I am in my 20s. If you didn't know my 20s, you could look at me and say 19, but I really am my 20s. Whew. Okay, bye.